There's a concern that sometimes we may just speak so mellow that people don't get benefited. Prabhupada always spoke strongly. So how do we, how can we actually speak effectively in our particular situation? See, strong speaking is not just about the content of what we are speaking. Mahabharata explains that the rightness of or wrongness of action is determined by three things: the intent, the content, and the consequence. That means, why did I do it? A doctor may perform a surgery with a good intent, but they may make a mistake. It's wrong that they made a mistake, but the intent was right. So sometimes there may be a complication because something else happens. So I may do the right action with the right intent, but the consequence comes out wrong. So how do we know what course of action is right or wrong? All these three factors that we consider: intent, content, and consequence. So we have to see what is the effect of whatever way we are speaking on others. So sometimes strong speaking is what is required to get people closer to Krishna, and sometimes gentle speaking is what is required. So it's not so much about strong speaking in terms of strong words, it is in terms of a effective consequence. So, the desired effect should happen. There are many times when Prabhupada will speak very strongly in terms of exposing people's misconceptions. But there are times also when Prabhupada would speak strategically. So, when Srila Prabhupada himself interacted with George Harrison, before Prabhupada had met George Harrison, he had been in touch with many Indian gurus. And during his interaction with Prabhupada, he said, you know, oh, this Swami says this, this Rishi says this. He was quoting all those people. And Prabhupada was just non-committal. Without commenting anything about them, okay, what do they think? He was just focusing on their teachings and addressing those teachings in the light of bhakti wisdom. So, before that, in Prabhupada, there were two main musicians, two big musicians who connected with Prabhupada. One was Allen Ginsberg. He was not that big, but he was there in 1960s, and in early 1970s, Prabhupada connected with George Harrison. So then Allen Ginsberg was also quite impressed by a particular Indian Swami. And when he spoke about that Swami to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, he's just a foolish old monk. Something like that, Prabhupada said. And he was so shocked. He said, from that point, at that time I was a little sentimental, respecting all monks. They must be good people. But Swami introduced a criticality in me. It was healthy, but one result of that criticality was that I started evaluating Prabhupada also like that. And he didn't commit to anyone. He didn't commit to any other Swami, he didn't commit to Prabhupada also. He helped Prabhupada in many ways, but he never became any kind of committed follower. So, we have to see what is the effect. What happens for us when we hear Prabhupada's classes, or when we hear about Prabhupada speaking as reported by his followers, the tendency of the human mind is to look for sensational stuff. And Prabhupada's strong words, fools, rascals, they are like catchy sound bites. And they catch our attention, and when speakers speak them, speakers also will catch others' attention. But that is not the way Srila Prabhupada spoke most of the time. I did an elaborate study of Srila Prabhupada's works. So I found that if you look at Prabhupada's lectures, he uses, say, words like fools and rascals, strong words, maybe around 300 times. This is a rough figure, I have the statistics, but roughly around 300 to 400 times. But if you look at his books, he uses it less than 50 times, the word rascals. And if you look at those books which he wrote as books, many of his books, like say Science of Self-Realization, Journey of Self-Discovery, there are lectures which are made into books. What he directly wrote as books, like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, the word rascal comes, I would say, less than 10 times. And those words that Prabhupada wrote Prabhupada wrote 100,000 words, what he spoke of, 70,000 or 100,000 words. So 10 times he has used that. So actually, by thinking that we should speak strongly, are we really representing the mood of Srila Prabhupada? We have to assess it honestly. So Prabhupada spoke in a way that was effective. And Prabhupada clearly said that what he wanted mainly to be circulated was his books. In fact, there is a clear instruction. There's one devotee in 1976, he wrote to Srila Prabhupada saying that, "Prabhupada, in order to understand your message, I want to transcribe all your lectures." Prabhupada said, "That is atya, that is prayas, excessive endeavor, there's no need to do that." He said, "Whatever I have given in my books is enough." So, what he wanted for mass distribution was his books. And if you look at his approach in the books, it is very calibrated and measured. So we have to be, we definitely do not want to compromise. But we do not have to have, we do not have to equate sensitivity with compromise. We do not have to equate necessarily strong speech with effective speech. If I speak strongly in terms of using judgmental words, and that alienates people from Krishna, then it is not effective. It is ineffective speech. So we have to see what is effective. Is it that Prabhupada wanted everyone to go on the fast track to Krishna? Yes, definitely. But if you look at Srila Prabhupada, the way he presented Krishna Bhakti. In America, practicing Krishna Bhakti meant moving into the temple. Because the American culture was so radically different from the Bhakti culture, that becoming a devotee meant moving into the temple. Now when Srila Prabhupada went to India, at that time, Indians were not interested in moving into the temple at all. So Prabhupada created the program of life membership. And Prabhupada's main preaching in India was he would just go to people's houses, take prasad at their houses, speak something, and ask them to become life members. And he went to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people's houses like that. Now you see, becoming a life member means they're not committing to chanting, they're not committing to following the four eventual principles. Of course, many of them were already following, but there's no wow committing them to that. Nor were they coming to the sadhana bhakti in a particular way. But Prabhupada was satisfied with that connection. Of course, he wanted them, he gave them their books, led them to come to the temple and stay in the temple. So both intellectually and culturally, they will have the opportunity to come closer to Krishna. But Prabhupada was real. He saw that at that time, Indians were not ready. So he was ready to have that life membership as a way to connect them with Krishna. So there is the fast track of connecting with Krishna, which is, you know, following the rules of sadhana bhakti and becoming committed, becoming initiated. That is wonderful. And that is what we would like to do. But that doesn't mean that any other thing is wrong. It is that Prabhupada's making people into life members indicates that he was happy with people coming at this level, but he was also accepting to people being at this level. Now what should not happen is that we think that this level is the standard. That is not just everybody becomes a life member, gives some donation to the temple and that's all. There's nothing more. But that is unlikely to happen because Prabhupada's movement is a preaching movement. They speak the philosophy and encourage people to come here. So it's not this or that. It is this and this. This and this. That means we encourage people to take the fast track to Krishna Bhakti. But those who are not ready, we don't reject them. We tell them, take whatever track you can and move onwards towards Krishna. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.